Kia ora, RDU98.5, welcome back to the show, and I'm absolutely delighted to have in the studio ACTS candidate for Banks Peninsula, Laura Trask. Good morning.
Kia ora, thank you so much for having me this morning.
Thank you for coming in. Now tell me, did you watch the debate last night?
I actually just watched the highlights because I had a Cancer Society debate.
Hey, so more important, I'd
priorities,
argue.
Yeah.
Even from just the highlights, do you think there's a standout there?
Yeah, look, I think both parties found some common ground, and there wasn't too many areas which I saw some offering kind of real change.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah. Like, they were quite similar.
Yeah, it felt a bit same-same, but...
Yeah, well...
So far from what I've seen.
And it doesn't help they're both called Chris as well. I
don't, it does not help.
So anyway, Laura, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So first and foremost, I'm a mum of two. I've got a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old. I live here locally in Christchurch, just at the bottom of the Cashmere Hill.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's a lovely area. Kids go to local school. We've got beautiful walks and the river, which is really nice. Have two cats, or three. One's ran off next door. I moved in next door. And a dog as well. So that's our little tribe. We have a family business where we do evacuation consultancy, which is emergency response planning for businesses, commercial property owners, things like councils, for example, and that encompasses a whole range of different things. So it could be fire evacuation, or it could be natural disaster planning, for example. So working in health and safety, and I've done that for the last 10 to 15 years. And prior to that, I was a pharmacy tech here in Christchurch.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's a little bit about me and my background.
So how does that get one interested in politics? What made you want to run?
Look, I've always been interested in politics. I would say that growing up, I was your classic swing voter. Through my time when I was studying and then being a business owner, I always check parties' policy, which a lot of us don't do. I've always voted based on what I think is best for me and our country. So a couple of elections ago, I saw some of ACT's policies, David Seymour and what he was talking about, and I felt it really resonated being a small business owner. From there, I kind of got involved. So started helping out with the party a couple of years back. Grassroots sort of activities, getting locals together that are keen and at trying to build a little bit of a base here, because we are a small party, so it's about just building that presence here in Christchurch. And then they asked me to stand about a year or so ago, so just been through that process. Look, to be honest, I was a bit apprehensive at first. No one wants to be a politician.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what I'm hearing out in the community, and also from my job, I deal with lots of people out in different communities, and I felt like I kind of had this obligation to do something for the people that, I want to represent. So,
Well, that really leads in quite well to my next question. And speaking of those things people telling you, particularly for Banks Peninsula, what are kind of the biggest challenges facing that electorate?
Yeah, so firstly, I think it's important that I just note that I'm actually not trying to win an electorate. What's different about the ACT party is that we are operating as a team and we're going for the party vote in most of New Zealand, other than Tamaki and Epsom. So I'm not looking to win the electorate. However, I do live in the electorate, so it's extremely important for me. That is, you know, home for me. What I'm hearing a lot is a big increase, and you just have to look at the local Facebook pages, in crime. And small crime. So it's more, you know, stolen vehicles, small break-ins. We're not talking major theft, but a lot of it's by youth crime. So that would be one of the biggest increases that I've seen. You know, a lot of people also within Banks Peninsula are concerned about things like the water quality of Lyttelton Harbour. It's been unswimmable some summers, which is really sad. And I know that we don't want that to continue. And there's been a bit of investment with the council into why the water is such poor quality within the harbour, and they've done some work around moving sewage. For example, it's now pumped out to Bexley, Bromley.
Bromley.
to Bromley, but the water quality actually hasn't improved. So,
wow, interesting.
Yeah, so there's other factors there. There's all kinds of things in the testing. It shows like avian like waste and things like that. So I think for the locals that I'm speaking to, the main issues I would say are crime and then water quality of the ocean for them for swimming. Yeah.
And how would ACT policy, if enacted, benefit these residents?
Yeah, so ACT probably has the toughest crime stance compared to other parties. So we acknowledge that there is a huge problem. Like youth crime in Christchurch has actually increased 600% in the last 3 years. So it's a huge amount. A friend of mine is a cop at Christchurch South, and it's actually the same kind of group of kids that he's seen come in. So the same sort of 12 to 15 kids, the regulars that they're pulling in. So it's not probably extremely widespread amongst a whole different array of kids. But the thing is that the police actually have very little that they're able to do with youth other than processing them through social services. So ACT, like, we have pretty strong policy because we want to get these kids off the street. So we have a few things. Like, firstly, we want to issue infringements. We don't actually think infringements will be a solution, but it's just a warning. It's something that the police can actually do.
Rather
than just tag and release. Secondly, with repeat offending, we would want to potentially ankle bracelet them. And I know that actually sounds kind of scary for youth. And also there's some people that say that won't work, like it might be a badge of honour. But really we need to see where these kids are in the evenings and we need to know their location. So this would be for repeat offending. If that didn't work, ACT actually want to have youth justice facilities that aren't run by a rangatamariki and that actually ran by justice. And what that means is that we would have a system where youth are going to and it has the correct people that have the correct training to deal with the situation. A rangatamariki are really for the care and protection of children and the social services. So that's still an extremely important part of this. But they don't have the abilities to deal with youth in the same way that corrections would. We're not going to just like put them in there, throw away the key, because the second part to this is like proper actual rehabilitation and making sure that youth and tamariki actually get the care that they need. And it could be making sure that they've got minimum literacy standards, identifying learning disabilities, for example, because we actually know that in our general prison population, up to 50% have unidentified learning disabilities. And that could just be might have poor literacy, for example, never actually learned how to read or write properly. So these things are things that need to be identified and we actually need to address them correctly. So a part of parole, whether you're a youth offender or an adult offender for ACT, will be making sure you meet a minimum requirement of rehabilitation, literacy, getting a driver's license, whatever it is that the judge imposes that the person must. Because at the minute, that is an optional thing. You do your time and you're out. So, yeah, we want to try and break the cycle, but at the same time, we need to get them off the street because the problem's here and now. So it's trying to find a solution between the two.
And, you know, good point raised here. You know, you are at least trying something new.
That's it. Yeah, something different, because we're looking for a real change in the next government. And I think we have solutions when it comes to things like this that are different to the other parties.
And what about the environmental side of it? Because you mentioned water quality, but there hasn't been a huge number of environmental policies coming out from ACT yet. So when people raise concerns like that, where do you sort of jump to? Where does your mind jump to when you think about ACT's kind of movement on those issues?
Yeah, look, ACT are criticised for not having enough environment policies. The reason around this is because we're wanting to solve some of those core issues with New Zealand first and foremost, just so that we can get our country moving in a new direction. We need that real change, and these are the things that the research is telling us that are most important to people. The environment is still extremely important to ACT, and, you know, like, we have a few ideas and things that we want to do around this, and some of our policies directly relate. So you've got obviously three things when it comes to climate. We've got mitigation, we have like adaptation to the weather, but we also have innovation. So one of well, a couple of ex-policies around this. Firstly, when it comes to mitigation, we accept that we need to do our part when it comes to climate change, but we want to make sure that we are tied with our five main trading partners. If they want to go to zero, we'll go to zero with them because it's important. Right, we want them to trade with us. So that's important. And also we want the emissions trading scheme to actually work. And in order for it to do that, we need to make sure that we are not providing big corp with environmental payouts, for example, we saw with NZ Steel. And we want people that are doing good to actually be rewarded for that.
Yeah,
so there
right.
are like QE2 Trust, Beck's Peninsula Conservation Trust. There's these organisations that are doing amazing things when it comes to biodiversity, and they're not really being rewarded because things like natives aren't included in the scheme. So they're not getting anything for it. So ACT have a policy to actually reward that work. The other thing that we want to do when it comes to adaptation is we think we're like previous governments have been woefully underprepared for the fact that no matter which way we look at how, you know, climate change is caused, it's happening and we need to be prepared. So ACT want to see more investment into this, and that would include, and that's where I come in with like potentially emergency response planning, evacuation planning. We may need to look at managed retreat of some coastal areas and how that is going to work. So that's the second part. The third part is actually innovation. And one of our policies is to open the door to innovation when it comes to genetic modification. And so that's been kind of a little bit of a controversial term in New Zealand. But what we actually have the opportunity for is we have incredibly talented Kiwis that have projects that they're unable to complete here. And these are things like grasses and mosses that can be grown on farms that actually reduce the methane that four-chambered animals eat, for example. We want to look at how New Zealand can really make a big impact on the world, and we want to actually open up some of these things. And to do it, we have to take away the red tape around that industry and actually allow innovation to occur. Like, I even heard about a mushroom that can break down plastic.
It's insane.
So we have something really cool we can do, and when people say it don't care about the environment, we actually really do. We just don't have a solid, we need to reach this goal emissions-wise. We're looking at a bigger picture of how we can help globally. And I think innovation, Kiwis do awesome at that. So for me, that's important.
I'm really glad you mentioned the red tape thing, because I saw an article about you not too long ago that talked about cutting red tape. And that's a term people love to use. But what does kind of cutting red tape look in practical terms?
Okay, I think it depends on which industry you're in. There's so many different things. I can tell you what I see in my industry.
I'd be really interested to hear about red tape, particularly in your industry, because some would argue some of that red tape
is important.
Maybe there for a reason.
100%. So when it comes to things like health and safety, regulation is important because we need to make sure that people, when they go to work, they come home safe. That I think everyone can agree on. What we don't want to see is tick the box exercises that are imposed on especially small business, small and medium businesses that have little to no benefit. So for me, I actually see that. I mean, even when I go to a building to do a fire drill, for example, we have a pre-start checklist, and part of that pre-start checklist is checking, like, is it got slippery tiles? Like, am I going to fall over? Was my car, like, registered and warranted before I got here? Like, there's just so many different things that could be done once a fortnight or something. Then there's these little daily things, and they take a lot of time, and a lot of businesses don't actually know how to navigate these rules. And so they end up doing way too much or way too little, or they have to pay for an expensive consultant to come in and tell them how to do it. So I see that as being a red tape when it comes to health and safety, and I think we're at a risk of people not doing it because they are like, oh gosh, there's just so many things I have to do. And they might miss a really important thing that might actually keep them safe at work. So I don't want us to create a culture where we have an adversity to health and safety. What I'd like to see is really sensible solutions for business that make sense and they're practical for the industry that people are working in.
Yeah, yeah.
And And I think that that's a space that we can work on when it comes to red tape. But yeah, there's heaps of industries. And when we talked about innovation, they are bound by a lot of different rules and they're unable to innovate. So a lot of our Kiwi, successful Kiwis that have great business ideas move offshore where they're able to actually create.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
the red tape is less. And actually, yeah. my brother is one of these. So he started a broadband company in the UK with three guys he met at the pub.
Nice.
This is a typical Kiwi story.
Yeah.
And when I said to him, you know, would you bring this idea to New Zealand? He was like, no, it just would not work with with what we have here.
Wow.
Yeah, with all the red tape. So there's so many different areas, and I think anyone working in every industry could tell you about things that are holding us back.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And we need to look at whether those things are actually holding us back for a reason, and are they having an effect? David's actually suggested we have a Ministry of Regulation, the irony. And that ministry's job will be checking regulations across the board to say, hey, do they still work? Some of them have been there since the 90s, so maybe they're just antiquated, right? Outdated. Or do we need to cut these back and actually either change them or have them gone completely? And then any new regulations, I think we need to actually go out and see how they're working a year or two in, because businesses are the real test when it comes to
totally,
a regulation.
Totally, yeah. Well, and final question for you, because we love music so much on the station. After a long day, you come home. What's kind of your wind down music?
Ooh, a wind down music.
Or do you need pump up music?
It depends what you're doing, you know, if you're going out for the night or not.
Yeah,
or for the
very
weekend.
True.
Look, I've got a real broad taste of music. I used to love your station. I was a big drum and bass girl growing up. And I still have a special place in my heart for drum and bass. And I think Kiwi music is awesome in that.
Yeah,
in that
yeah,
sense.
Totally.
What do I wind down to, though? Ooh, possibly, I'm probably more of still a rock girl. So it'd be some classics.
Yeah, I'm probably a bit more like you, I think.
Yeah,
on that. Yeah.
Like a bit of Pearl Jam or a bit of Queen or a little bit, gosh, it could even be Rage Against the Machine, depending on the day.
Yeah.
But
nice.
Yeah, I'm a rock girl at heart.
Oh, good taste, good taste. Hey, well, Laura, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And you've spoken really well on some very important issues here. So it's much appreciated. And good luck on the campaign trail. How many weeks to go? Three-ish weeks, I think. Wow.
It's not long now.
No, I know. And it will come by so quickly as well. It'll be terrifying, quite frankly. But thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us.